is a podcast of 98FM's Dublin Talks. Remember, catch the show live Monday to Friday at 10 a.m. 98FM's Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.
Now, next on the programme, a Dublin mother has taken to social media over an incident that happened with her daughter yesterday in the city centre. Lisa says she's incredibly proud over what her daughter Megan did. She was walking down Georgia Street and a man in his 70s stumbled. She walked over to him and asked if he was okay, and he began to deteriorate rapidly, and it became evident that he had had a stroke. And Lisa joins me on the line. So, Lisa, tell me exactly what happened.
Hi, Adrian. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, Megan was walking down Georgia Street. She was with another girl from the college. When they were walking down, a man stumbled. People around were saying that he was drunk, you know, just making that assumption. But she went over to him and just asked him, was he okay? And his, you know, it became apparent very, very quickly that he was having a stroke. One side of his mouth was dropped down. He couldn't raise his hands, wasn't coherent in speaking. And then, so she lay him down on the ground. I have to say, the spar on the corner, you know that big spar on Georgia Street there?
Mm-hmm.
Were brilliant. They actually brought an armchair out to put the man sitting into. They were fantastic. Megan had a pulse, and then his pulse went, his eyes went, he lost his breathing, the whole lot. So she did CPR and did compressions and that. Meanwhile, other people were running into shock. She had asked someone to go and look for a defibrillator. Shocked that there was absolutely no defibrillator, even in the chemist.
Really?
The whole length and breadth of Georgia Street, and even around into Dane Street, people rang looking for one. Nothing. So, but thankfully the compression, the CPR, that worked. And obviously, Adrian, she was, you know, an emotional wreck. And she has got quite a lot of further aid training just through her job. She was working with kids for a long time. But she was an emotional wreck. So I rang the hospital anyway just to try to find out. Basically, the man was okay, he was alive. And thankfully, he is, you know, so...
Okay, so this isn't dissimilar at all to the story that we had a couple of weeks ago of Nurse Aoife McGivney, who helped the bus driver and saved his life, essentially. Your daughter saved this man's life as well.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I don't think she's kind of grasping what she did. You know what I mean? She's saying, well, you know, I just don't want anyone to know. Adrian, because...
Sorry, Lisa, I'm losing you there. Your mobile signal has gone terrible.
Wait, if I did, can you hear me now?
Ah, that's much better, yeah.
Oh, that's grand. Yeah, unfortunately, people do assume. You know, I know my own father-in-law had a brain hemorrhage a few years ago, and he was stumbling, trying to make his way home, and people passing by assumed he was drunk. He never drank in his life, you know. But even if someone is drunk, they do can act drunk or an incident, they still need help.
Okay, know? But yes, exactly. But Megan didn't assume that the man was drunk and realised something was not right, did chest compressions on the man and brought him back. And the shock about this, actually, and one of the things that she said, is that a lot of people just kept walking as if nothing was happening.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, it was lunchtime. It was, you know, I think it was 1:10 when she rang the ambulance. So it was lunchtime. The street was packed. You know, with people walking up and down, and people just keep walking and ignore them, you know.
Which
is a bad reflection.
It is a bad reflection. It always startles me that we've become that immune to other people's issues that we just keep our headphones on, keep our head in our phone, and keep walking.
Yeah, keep walking and just ignore it. And I was shocked, I have to say, that I thought every chemist would have.
Defibrillator.
I really, really did. I just assumed. But none, the whole length and breadth of Georgia Street, because Megan was shouting at people to go look for a defibrillator. And actually the manager in Spar said they're going to look into getting one in themselves now. But they were really, really helpful. You know, they brought Megan and the other girl in, hot chocolate, this, that and the other, because the shock of it, you know.
Anyway, after about 20 minutes, an ambulance did arrive. And the man was taken to hospital, and Megan has subsequently asked about him, and he is okay.
Yeah, I rang the hospital yesterday evening, and they said, yeah, obviously he's been admitted, but he is doing well, you know. And so it was lovely. It's lovely to know that she had the wherewithal and compassion in her to do it, because I think compassion is something that's usually lacking in society, Adrian, you know. As you say, we turn the other cheek and we keep walking and assume someone else will do something, you know.
And but that's what I want to have a conversation about now on 6797981. Have you ever helped anybody, or have you ever been helped in a situation like that? Lisa, send our congratulations to Megan, and that was a brilliant thing that she did. And deserves the sort of publicity that Aoife McGivney got a couple of weeks back for what she did. It was fantastic. And it's a wonderful, I'm sure it's a wonderful feeling as a mother to know that your daughter was in some way involved in saving somebody's life.
It is, because you kind of get, well, I did something right, you know. You put compassion into them.
Absolutely.
That's vital.
You should be very proud of her. So well done to Megan. And thanks very much, Lisa, for talking to us. Our telephone number is 6797981. Has Dublin, we were having this conversation in our office earlier on today about Dublin and whether or not we have become that sort of society where we just don't give a damn anymore. We'll just keep walking. Or maybe you believe, no, actually, that's not true, that people will rally around and help somebody who is in trouble. Orla is in Dundrum, and Orla, you're a lifesaver.
So I believe.
Right, tell me what happened.
Yeah, it was basically, it was the last day of the school summer holidays for the kids. And by the luck of God, I happened to have a party for all the kids. And because of that, I had left my gates open at the front of the house. So it was sort of halfway through the party and I went out to close the gate then. And as I looked around, I saw a couple of neighbours across the road pointing. And one of them sort of passed by and looked into our gate and another one was pointing in. So I thought something might be wrong. So I walked around to the other side of my house. And I saw my neighbour on her hands and knees as if she was trying to come down the side passage. So I was looking at the lady saying, what's happened? They seemed to ignore it, didn't know what happened. I ran over to her. And at this stage, I would say she was very poor. She was purple. She couldn't breathe. She was gasping onto the railing. So it never dawned on me that she was actually choking. I thought maybe she'd knocked somebody down. Mm. I thought it was her husband. So I kept trying to talk to her and she wasn't responding. And then she managed to point to her throat. So I realised at that stage she was choking. So I know it sounds ridiculously funny, but the only thing that came into my mind was Mrs. Doubtfire. And I just jumped her up and did what they did in the movie. I just grabbed her underneath the sternum, banged her on the back, and a big piece of pineapple shot out of her mouth.
Wow.
So it was, you know, remarkable, really, because I'm such a scary Mary. And in other situations, I'd run like mad, but I don't know why or how I acted the way I did.
It must be just an adrenaline thing that just kicks in, and an instinct thing or something like that.
Well, this is what I think. I mean, afterwards, she kept saying to me, oh my God, you saved my life, you saved my life. And I was saying, no, I didn't. I just got pineapple out of your throat. But actually, in hindsight, when
you absolutely did.
Yeah, I suppose I did. I just don't look at it that way because I feel it came out so quick. I think if it didn't, I probably would have ran down the road screaming. But it was just an instinct. I was really lucky. As I say, she had turned purple at this stage. She had to go and get medical help after, because I believe if you do that Heimlich manoeuvre, you can damage them in the ribs.
Hmm.
So with the force of what I did, was obviously just so quick. But obviously she was very slight, very small, and she was thin, which was a huge, I think, bonus for her. But a point to remember, I think she said to me afterwards, was if it does happen that you're choking in your house on your own, that you're supposed to lean over the back of a chair and push it, and then it'll come out itself.
Oh, right, so essentially perform the Heimlich manoeuvre on yourself.
Exactly, over the top of a high chair. Because she said by the time she got to me, she lives across the road, but she lives up steps. So by the time she got to me, she thought she wasn't going to make it. But she was. She said she was choking for about 5-10 minutes and didn't know what to do and just ran out of the house. But as you're saying there, remarkably, loads of people passed her. So that's I couldn't get over that they were just pointing to me at her. So I didn't know what, you know, as I say, I thought she'd knocked somebody down. But obviously I was just lucky to be there at the right time, and it was my birthday that day, so I felt really proud.
Oh, very good.
You know, worthwhile on the day.
Well, fair play to you, Orla. And like, I mean, we're talking about the fact that a startling amount of people still just run away or turn the other cheek or walk in the opposite direction.
I'd say that's fear. I think people just panic one way or the other.
But by your own admission, you would be that scary Mary.
Yeah.
But you still jumped to the task and at least gave
it
a shot.
And I suppose, as I say, I was lucky it happened quickly. If I had time to think, I probably would have run away, but I just
reacted. But you didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm so glad I did the right thing for once.
It must be a wonderful feeling to know that you actually helped to save somebody's life. And that's what you did, whether you're being humble about it or not.
I know. I suppose she brought over a tree about 2 days later that you planted in the back garden. Like it was some particular meaning for a lifetime tree. And for her, she just keeps saying, "You did actually save my life. Stop saying you didn't." But for me, I just think, well, you know, as you say, you just banged somebody on the back. But I don't like to think too much through that I saved somebody's life. But I'm just glad
you did. And you should be very proud of yourself. Thanks for talking to us, Orla.
Thanks a million, Adrian. Thanks.
Somebody just texted in a moment ago to say there is already an app called Good Sam Alerter app, which caters for the Western world, the UK and America and so on. But according to this message, Ireland's health service won't get in touch with them. The app allows users to click a button and it alerts trained cardiac first responders in the area to the life-threatening condition with the responder app and tells users where all defibrillators are in the area. It's a great app, so shame on the HSE for not rowing in behind us. Good Sam Alerter app, apparently it's called. I've never heard of it, but I'll take that person's word for it. Aidan, you're on 98FM. How are you, Aidan?
It's Eamon, actually.
Oh, Eamon. Sorry, Eamon. Yeah. I do apologize.
No, you're glad.
Now, Eamon, you had a motorbike crash in town, but lots of people helped you.
Yeah, no, honestly, I hit one of the curbs in the middle of the road, and I came off my bike. And within seconds, there was literally loads of people around me. And the armed force guards, they were there as well within seconds.
And, okay, so the point being that people in a situation where they witnessed your crash, they were there like a light.
Yeah, and I asked them to pick me up, but they wouldn't because in case there was any injury to me neck or my head. Or anything like that,
which is very clever of somebody to think that, because that's the right thing to do in a situation like that, isn't it?
Absolutely. And if there's anyone out there listening and you know about that, I'd like to thank them very, very much for all the help and appreciate it.
And when was that, Eamon?
It was the end of February.
Oh, so just a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
Wow, and where exactly did it happen again?
Just up from the Skyland Hotel.
Oh, right, on the way out to the airport.
Where the Savoy Picture House is.
Oh, right, yes.
In O'Connell Street.
Right. And people were over to you like a light. It was at the end of February. And I take it by the fact that we're talking now that you weren't too seriously injured.
Well, it was my shoulder that came out the worst hour, so I'm waiting on an operation for that.
Okay, but you're okay. But thanks to the help of people who came to your aid on O'Connell Street.
Oh, absolutely, and the armed force as well, the armed guards as well, and the ambulance as well, because they were there within minutes.
Very good. All right, good to hear, Eamon, and the best of luck in the future. And finally, Steve is also a lifesaver. Tell me your story, Steve.
Hi, Adrian. We were going fishing one day, myself and my mate, and we were carrying our tackle box and a rod, and my mate had only one arm free, so he was trying to open a packet of cigarettes, and he was opening with his mouth, as some people do, and he sucked off, did you know the way the plastic separates into two pieces?
Yeah.
He sucked off the top bit to get it off the top so he could open the box, and it went straight down his windpipe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I had to do a couple of Heinrich maneuvers on him, and it came up after about three or four times doing it.
And I would have thought that that's even harder than, say, we heard that lady a piece of pineapple. I would have thought getting a piece of plastic out would be more difficult.
When we went to the doctor, he said that you were very lucky, that that was really lucky to come up. It could have stuck in the windpipe.
That's my point, where, a lump of pineapple, because it's a bigger piece, probably is easier to get out.
And the funny thing was, Adrian, there was about 10 of us going, and he was dragging behind because he was trying to do that. And only for I stayed with him, he would have definitely died, I think.
My God. Wow, another lifesaver. Fair play to you, Steve. Thanks very much indeed for your call. And an uplifting piece on the show today. Well done to everybody. So we're not as bad as we seem to think we are in terms of a lot of us will jump to somebody's aid if we come across a crisis situation. Anyway, well done to everybody for their stories.
98 FM's Dublin Talks with Des Kelly Interiors. New store now open at Belgard Road, Tallaght. 98 FM.